From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most: family, freedom, and life. And we want to start the show today by setting politics and policy aside and really focusing on the devastation that's happening across our state right now with the historic flooding. And our prayers are going out to the many, many Nebraskans all across our state who have been affected by this natural disaster from the severe flooding. We hope everyone is staying safe. Our hearts go out to everyone who's been affected, and we are extremely grateful to all of the emergency first responders and their tireless, courageous efforts rescuing hundreds of citizens. And we're encouraging everyone to continue to join us in praying for our state. It's just been shocking to see the photos and the videos and the news stories of the flooding that's taking place in different towns and communities that are just entirely underwater. And so many people have been displaced and affected by this. Events like this really put things in perspective, and I'm confident that Nebraskans will continue to rally around each other and support each other and help everyone who is in need right now. I'm reading an article from the Omaha World Herald that these rising river levels mean the unthinkable is possible, that 2019 could be the year that two terrible flood years, the devastating flooding on the Elkhorn River in 2010 and the record-shattering flood of 2011 on the Missouri River, wrap into one. According to the Nebraska Emergency Management Agency, the 2011 flooding was probably one of the biggest disaster events in our history. I think we can safely say that this event rivals it. The frightening nature of the flooding felt from one end of the state to the other became all too real on Thursday when a boat with firefighters capsized as they were trying to rescue people in Dodge County near the Elkhorn River. Numerous helicopters were called to assist. Seven people were taken to the hospital suffering from hypothermia and at least one in critical condition. The firefighter may have been in the water for more than an hour. There's already been at least one casualty and others missing and hundreds needing to be rescued. So let's keep praying for our state and helping our neighbors. As Senator Deb Fischer posted on Facebook, Mother Nature can be cruel, but Nebraskans are tough and resilient, and that is certainly true. And that's what makes our state great, is the people. That's what makes the good life, is that Nebraska grit and the way that Nebraskans treat each other and our shared values and how we support each other and rally around each other in times of need. And that's what I love about our state. And of course, one of those people is my mom, who I know is always listening. And today is her birthday on St. Patrick's Day. So happy birthday, Mom, and happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone listening. I wanted to be sure to get to all of those things at the top of the show, because that's what is most important here. And with that, let's turn to what's been happening at the state capitol this past week down in the legislature. The main debate this week that got the most attention focused on a bill from Omaha Senator Megan Hunt to increase the minimum wage for waiters and waitresses. And after hours and hours of debate that got very passionate and heated at times, that bill stalled and there was no record vote taken. It reached the time limit. And without the 33 votes that could be demonstrated to support the bill, the legislature has moved on. But it's been a really busy time in committee. We're in the final stages of bills being heard in committee. And this week in our Judiciary Committee, there was a really important bill that I want to focus on a little bit because it's an important bill for ensuring justice for victims of the most heinous crimes, the trafficking of children and possession of child pornography. And the bill also gives needed resources and tools to law enforcement to really crack down on human trafficking in our state. This is LB 519, introduced by the newest senator in the legislature, Senator Julie Slama of Peru. And this bill was heard in the Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. And this is a bill that would extend and eliminate certain statutes of limitation for labor and sex trafficking, so the time period in which someone can be prosecuted for these crimes. And LB 519 would eliminate the statute of limitations for the creation of child pornography or for the labor or sex trafficking of a child. And what we know here in Nebraska, approximately 47 Nebraska schoolgirls are trafficked each year. And that was from the governor's human trafficking task force, who also concluded that that number, 47 every year, is a substantial underestimate. That's the known minimum, 47 schoolgirls trafficked in Nebraska every single year. The bill would also increase the statute of limitations from 3 years currently to 7 years for the trafficking of an adult or for the possession of child pornography from, again, 3 years currently to 7 years. And finally, LB 519 would also allow law enforcement to apply for wiretap authorization to intercept the electronic communications relating to trafficking that are taking place between traffickers and buyers. And this is really important. Senator Slama shared at the hearing, "We need to be able to help the victims of trafficking and allow them time to heal and feel comfortable about reporting the crimes that occurred against them. We also need to ensure law enforcement has the tools necessary to crack down on human trafficking." Anna Brewer, speaking on behalf of the State Attorney General's office, spoke specifically in support of the bill's authorization of law enforcement to use wiretapping. She said that sex traffickers often use electronic devices to advertise the sale of children and vulnerable adults and communicate with buyers and control the people they exploit. Being able to intercept these communications will enable law enforcement officers to collect, improve, or disprove, disrupt, and dismantle the criminal enterprises that engage in human trafficking. And this proved really useful and effective recently in Florida. This is a story that's gotten a lot of national coverage. There was a major trafficking investigation in Florida that, through a month-long investigation that utilized wiretaps and surveillance of massage parlors, uncovered a large-scale trafficking ring that spanned multiple states and countries that law enforcement was able to finally disrupt because of this. And we want to make sure that law enforcement here has those same tools to do what is necessary to protect our citizens. And Nebraska Family Alliance also provided testimony in support of this bill, because by making these changes and extending the statute of limitations and eliminating them for the trafficking of children, really the state of Nebraska can recognize the severity of these crimes and ensure that our laws reflect Nebraska's commitment to ending trafficking in our state while protecting women, children, and all citizens. So this is a bill that we will be keeping an eye on and advocating for. I'm confident that it will advance from our Judiciary Committee and hopefully have the opportunity to pass into law this year. And to stay up to date on all the bills we are tracking and advocating for and against, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Click on the bill tracker page. It's a great, simple, free resources, a free resource to see a list of all the bills that are impacting issues pertaining to family, freedom, and life, what the bill does, why we are in support or opposed to it, and what the status of that bill is, and most importantly, how you can help make a difference by contacting your state senator and encouraging them to vote yes or no on these different bills. And what we always say is that being engaged really starts with being informed. So make sure you visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and stay up to date on all the latest happenings from our Nebraska Capitol and how these bills will affect you and your family. There also was an important hearing this week in front of the Appropriations Committee, once again on the Title 10 issue, this time from a shell bill that was filed containing nothing to do with Title 10, and then amended just days before the committee hearing that this bill was scheduled for to address the Title 10 issue. The problem was that the language that was amended into this bill, supposedly resolving the Title 10 issue, does nothing. And once again, in order for Nebraska to ensure that taxpayer dollars are not going to abortion providers, the pro-life Title 10 provision that was agreed upon by the legislature last year that committee members stripped out, this year needs to be reinserted. And that is what we testified to, because last year, many of you advocated for Title X taxpayer dollars to not be distributed to organizations who perform, counsel in favor of, or refer for abortion. This is simple, good policy, adding basic transparency and accountability in a government program that is not supposed to fund abortion providers, but it does every year until last year, when finally and rightfully the legislature corrected this. And this year, that same pro-life language was taken out by the Appropriations Committee. Now, since then, a federal ruling, a decision from the Trump administration, was announced to protect Title X taxpayer dollars from being distributed to abortion providers. And unfortunately, this is already being challenged, I believe, by 24 states now, preventing it from going into effect. And so the question is, where does this leave Nebraska? Well, in order to keep your taxpayer funds from going to abortion providers, Nebraska state senators have to once again vote to keep the language in the budget decided upon in 2018. And that's what this committee hearing was really about. And they tried to sell this bill as a fix-all, but really all the bill does is say that you have to be in accordance with federal requirements, which is, number one, already the law. And secondly, this new rule from the Trump administration hasn't gone into effect yet and won't go into effect quite for some time while the lawsuits continue to play out. And so we're continuing to advocate and work with committee members to reinsert the language. And if not, we're still going to have this discussion on the floor, because now the debate will be about putting that language back in instead of the debate we had last year about taking it out. So we're going to have this conversation, and it's going to dominate the budget debate either way. And it's important that that language goes back in. And this issue is important to a lot of people. This is nothing small. We're talking about the taxpayer funding of abortion providers. Just imagine this scenario. This is a story that broke earlier this week from the state of Washington. Imagine that your church believes in the sanctity of life and does not want to be involved in promoting or funding abortion. The church employs more than 50 people and therefore must provide health insurance to employees as required by the Federal Affordable Care Act. Your state then passes a law that requires any health insurance plan to cover abortions if the plan also covers maternity care, which your church's policy does, because they want to help take care of mothers and newborns. The law contains numerous exemptions, but none for religious organizations. Well, the result is what you have currently unfolding in the state of Washington, where their state government has found a way to force churches to violate their deepest beliefs and promote abortions among church employees, all paid for with the tithes and offerings of the church's members. And of course, if you don't want to provide that abortion coverage, your church could avoid that mandate by choosing not to provide health insurance for maternity care employees, leaving new parents to pay for their babies on their own. Well, a lot of churches in Washington don't want to be forced to have to make that decision. And this is really something that people need to be aware of. Thankfully, our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom are once again all over this. They are leading a lawsuit that's being initiated by the Cedar Park Assembly of God Church in Washington, which, as we described, found itself painted into a corner by this 2018 law in Washington that has previously proven itself hostile to Christians in a variety of ways, such as trying to force pharmacies to provide abortion-inducing drugs against their desire, as well as the florist, our friend Baronel Stutzman, whose litigation is still ongoing. And so rightfully, Cedar Park Church filed a lawsuit against their own state, against the state of Washington, with the help of our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. The lawsuit alleges that the no-win scenario the state has created violates the First Amendment right of freedom of religion and the 14th Amendment right to equal protection of the law. They also allege that the hostility displayed by the state in targeting this law to religious organizations violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. And it's also worth noting that the church is alleging that the Washington legislature worked closely with Planned Parenthood to draft, promote, pass, and implement the law. And they have reason to believe that this law does not coincidentally affect religious organizations. Rather, they are its intended targets. So this is one to keep an eye on, because you can be sure that they are successful in doing this in other states. They'll be bringing it here soon, too. And here in Nebraska, this upcoming week is a big week for the life issue. On Wednesday, our Judiciary Committee will hold a hearing on two abortion-related bills, one very good and one very bad. The first bad one, LB 503, this bill seeks to eliminate the requirement that a physician be physically present in the same room when an abortion is performed. In other words, this would open the door for telemedicine or webcam abortions in Nebraska, where you would no longer even need a physician to be present when an abortion is performed. Now, the good bill that is also on Wednesday, LB 209 from Senator Albright, is about informing women of the option of the abortion pill reversal protocol. Now, this is a scientific, medically approved method that simply allows a woman who, after already beginning the medication abortion process, if she changes her mind, to continue the pregnancy and save her child. And this is really important because over half of all abortions today in Nebraska, over half are medication abortions, or those caused by abortion-inducing drugs. The abortion pill, which is prescribed by a doctor within the first 10 weeks of a pregnancy, artificially deprives the woman's body of progesterone, causing the child to die from lack of nourishment. However, it is possible to greatly increase the chance that a woman can save her baby after taking the abortion pill if she begins a standardized abortion pill reversal protocol. But this has to happen within 2 or 3 days after taking the abortion pill. Time is of the essence, and that's why it's essential that this information be provided when the abortion pill is prescribed, because this is an option, a choice that every woman has and deserves to know about. This is perfectly safe and healthy for both the mother and baby, because all this is about is really trying to reverse the effects of the abortion pill, which again blocks progesterone, by receiving a series of doses of progesterone to counteract what the abortion pill has done. And for nearly 60 years, medical professionals have used progesterone to allow pregnant women to sustain healthy pregnancies and also to help prevent miscarriages. And not only is this safe for both the woman and her unborn child, but it offers a real chance for the woman to rescue her child when she has changed her mind about abortion, as well as spare herself the pain and regret of losing a wanted baby. This is something that's being offered successfully across the country and in Nebraska. Hundreds of babies have been saved through the abortion pill reversal. But obviously, this is not information that abortion providers are volunteering to their patients. And to that end, we have LB 209 to make sure that this information is provided when the abortion pill is prescribed. LB 209 simply adds a new section to our already existing informed consent statutory framework for abortion, requiring that when a woman goes in for an abortion, that she will be given all the information she needs to make a truly informed decision, including information about the abortion pill reversal and how to find help if she changes her mind. Informed consent is a staple of good medical practice in any procedure or protocol. And certainly a woman shouldn't have to find out later that she could have reversed the process and continued her pregnancy if only she had known it was possible. So not only is this bill pro-life, it's pro-women, it's pro-information, and it's pro-science, and it is up before the Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. And with all the laws that we've seen passed recently in other states around the country expanding abortion, this is our chance here in Nebraska to stand for life. So we're encouraging everyone to reach out to their state senator and ask them to support LB 209. You can get all of the information about this bill and about abortion pill reversal by visiting our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Nebraska Family Alliance is committed to empowering people because the power to make a difference is in your hands. And a great way to make sure that you get all of the up-to-date information and action alerts about urgent issues affecting you and your family is to join the NFA email network. And you can also get urgent prayer requests sent straight to your phone. This is a new free resource we started called Capitol Link, because we understand that not everyone can make it down to the state capitol to be at the unicameral during legislative debates or committee hearings, but we all can take time to pray right where we are. And so we started the Capitol Link, NFA's texting network, where we'll text you our most urgent prayer requests when critical votes are being taken at the state capitol or when team members are testifying before committee hearings, and when we need people in Nebraska to take action and contact their elected representatives. You can be praying with us when we need it the most. To join, simply visit our website or text PRAYNFA to 402-979-7729. That's text PRAYNFA to 402-979-7729. And it's always amazing to see what can happen when people are paying attention, and especially when the church is paying attention. When the church rises up, it makes a huge difference. For example, this is what Senator Mark Coulterman from Seward, he had to say when we asked him, you know, does it make a difference when people reach out and contact their state senators? Is something that really matters? And he shared with us, quote, "In Nebraska, the citizens represent the second house of the legislature, so it is very important to voice your ideas. While each state senator represents the entire state of Nebraska, they first and foremost represent the people of their home district, their constituents. This is why it is important for Nebraskans to contact their representatives about matters that affect them the most." So if you share our vision to ensure that Nebraska is a state where marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated, we hope that you will get connected with us at NFA and join us in advancing family, freedom, and life at our state capitol to keep Nebraska the best place to live, work, and raise a family. We'll be back next week with more updates and information from what's going on at our state capitol and the Nebraska legislature, including how things go on Wednesday when these abortion bills are before our Judiciary Committee. As always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Until next time, I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capitol Connection.